Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Finn. I'm going to give a shout out to all our guys over at Adventurac. We're doing the remote down there, and we're broadcasting live all day. They're highlighting the event industry, but we've got a great show for you today. Later on in the segment, we're going to be talking with Brandon Smith, the workplace therapist and CEO with The Worksmiths. And we'll also be talking with Ronald Wolf, managing partner of That Pie Place, and Joe Ragone, co-founder of Locals Networking. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Brian McBroom, master franchisor with Anago of Atlanta. Did I butcher that, or is that how you pronounce
it? Anago.
Anago? Okay. Yeah. So I did a pretty good job.
You're close.
Yeah. So, Brian, give me a little backstory about yourself, and tell me a little bit about the company and how you guys got put together.
Okay. Brian McBroom. I attended the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, worked a couple of years, went back to graduate school here in Atlanta at Clark Atlanta, received my MBA, and just worked for 20 years, 12 years at Chrysler Corporation in the Detroit area. Then I moved to Cummins in Columbus, Indiana, worked there for 8.5 years, and was really looking for an entrepreneurial type of venture. Saw Darren Williams in Black Enterprise magazine, yeah. And that was my first kind of notion about Anago. And then I attended the franchise show in New York and met the representatives from Anago, and was invited down to a discovery day in Pompano Beach, Florida. During that time, I started doing research on Anago and found out that they were the fifth fastest growing franchise in 2010 and 11, 10th fastest growing in 2013. So once I went down and spoke to the CEO and the various management, I was really hooked. So decided to join into the commercial cleaning business.
Okay, all right. Well, tell me just a little bit of how that works and how Anago sort of attacks that problem.
Okay, basically we sign up franchisees, so people that are interested in that have the entrepreneurial spirit can come in and own their own business. So we give them the opportunity to be the CEO of their own company. And we, in turn, go out and find them clients. So mainly they just come in and develop a staff and go out and actually do the cleaning, whereas we get the clients for them.
Well, that's huge, too, especially for people that they've exited the corporate world. They don't sort of want to retire fully, but they want to sort of go into another venture that they can sort of keep working at and be the CEO and the boss and sort of run their own time schedule. But that's something different that you guys do than most franchises. We've talked to a lot of different franchises here at Business Radio X, but actually going out and finding the clients for them, all they have to do is build up the staff. That seems like it takes off a lot of the pressure off of them.
Right, it does, because now they can really just focus in totally on the cleaning business, and we do all of the telemarketing and the selling to bring the clients into them.
That's huge, too. How do you guys go to market? How do you guys find these business owners? I would think they'd be lining up because, I mean, you're giving them the roadmap to a successful business. You're giving them the clients. It's like they don't have to really do anything. All they have to do out there is go clean houses or find people to clean houses for them.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But we use a lot of web advertising. We're also on the radio. We have some spots running currently where we're going to be participating in a career fair sponsored by one of the radio stations at the Cobb Galleria next week. So there's just various sources that we try to find new clients as well as new franchisees.
All right. So How does this all work? How does someone sign up for this? Walk me through the process of when you start with you guys. How is that customer experience for the people that are coming in and be the new CEOs of their company?
Okay. Well, they come in and we go through an extensive interviewing process. We give them an overall presentation about the business so they learn the ins and outs, the financial implications, investment, and also how the process works about how we bring them clients and, we're in terms of the actual geography of the city, you know, where are they located. We try to find clients within their region to benefit them so they're not, you know, just spending enormous amounts of time driving. So we try to make it as easy as possible for them. Once they decide to sign up with us, then we have extensive training for them. We provide initial cleaning supplies for them. If they want to use us going forward, we can provide other sources of resources for them. But we're always there to help them to be successful.
Wow. So do you teach them how to clean, too? Do they have to have any cleaning experience in this? Or you guys sort of have the whole roadmap to make it really easy for them?
We have the entire roadmap for them. They do not have to have any cleaning experience. We teach them everything they need to know.
All right. So who's your ideal client? Who do you guys target? Who makes the best franchisee for you guys?
Someone that has that entrepreneurial spirit, someone that has excellent leadership qualities, a person that works well with people. So if you've got those interpersonal skills, you're a leader, you want to be that executive, then the cleaning company is for you.
Definitely. For you. So you guys haven't been in the Atlanta area that long, have you, just since February, right?
No, I took over the company in February, but we've been in the Atlanta region for probably 10 years.
All right. Are you guys just in Atlanta? Are you guys spreading out? Or where do you guys all have areas?
We're throughout the country. We have offices, master territories in Florida, such as the Miami area, Tampa. We have regions in Charleston, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Dallas area. So wow. We have 35 master territories throughout the United States.
That's huge, too. And this is a growing industry, isn't it, that people don't realize?
Yes, it's growing because it's, you know, no industry is really recession-proof, but it's very recession-resistant because regardless of, you know, good times, bad times, all commercial buildings need to be cleaned.
Definitely. How are you guys getting in front of these customers? Since you're finding the customers for them, they don't have to go out, and that seems like it's the hard part. How are you guys attacking that problem?
Well, what we do is we have a website where customers can contact us. We also utilize telemarketers and salespeople to go out and actually find clients for the franchisees, and we go out and do all the bids and get the clients for them. So.
Do you deal with a lot of corporate clients? You get like corporate contracts for them, like a office suite building like this. Would you find that for them, or is it more residential? Or
it's all commercial. So usually it's smaller suites, but we work with schools, dealerships, small franchises, office buildings, medical buildings, things like that.
So these aren't small contracts either. So you're finding high-profile clients for your franchisees also. It's not like they're going around house to house and cleaning. They're doing huge, huge buildings and all that.
Some of them, we try to have a mix because we don't want to put all of your eggs in one basket.
That's
so
smart.
We try to have a mixture of larger clients and smaller clients.
Well, I'd have to think you guys have to be pretty integrated in your communities to make this happen. And have know all the touch points, know where people need cleaning here and there to stay and do. Are you guys doing anything in the community here in Atlanta?
Yes, we're doing quite a bit. We are in the process. We've joined the local Chamber of Commerce. We've also engaged with some of the other organizations. I will be joining the 100 Black Men of Atlanta. There are numerous chapters here, but I'll be joining that. We also work with other Hispanic groups throughout the Atlanta region too.
All right. So what's next for you guys in the coming months? What's 2014 look like for Antigo?
Well, we've experienced tremendous growth just in the last couple of months since I've been here. We've signed up 6 new franchisees in the Atlanta, Metro Atlanta area. So we're just shy of a total of just shy of 50 throughout the region. So we're doing quite well in terms of growth. We are continuing to expand in the Northwest, where we have a pretty good foothold, but we're also looking to expand into the Northeast, the Gwinnett area, as well as in the South, Jonesboro, Forest Park, et cetera.
All right. Well, we're glad to have you on. We hope everything goes well. Tell me about the name, though. How did you guys come up with that name? Was there a history behind it? Or?
Yes. As a matter of fact, the Antigo name is derived from a word that means to guide and uplift. And
okay.
That's what we feel that we're doing for people. We're uplifting them and providing them an opportunity to own their own business, as well as, you know, join a company that's really thriving. And we're celebrating our 25th anniversary this year, so we're looking forward to people coming in and being a part of Antigo.
Well, is there any are you thinking about picking up any other franchises with that? Because with the Antigo name, I can see the future of you having a bunch of different franchises to help different people out down the road.
Right. Yes. That's always a possibility. So
definitely. Well, can you give our listeners contact information if they're interested in contacting you and starting their own business?
Yes. Please look at our website. It's www.antigoatlanta.com or www.antigoatl.com.
And can they just Google that also? And how do you spell Antigo, just for our listeners?
A-N-A-G-O.
Just like it sounds, yes. Guys. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
All right. Well, next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Brandon Smith, the workplace therapist and CEO with The Worksmiths. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Well, you were sitting there nodding your head. You were giving scorecards. I saw that. You're holding up 5, 6, 7, 8, 10.
Well done.
Well, tell me a little bit about what you do. I love your job title. And tell me about The Worksmiths.
Yeah. So workplace therapist, that's really what I do. And so the company, The Worksmiths, that's essentially a bigger, broader way for us to go into companies and help them create healthy, dysfunction-free, high-performing cultures.
How do you do that? That sounds great. I'm already sold. If you came into our company and said, we're going to do that for you, pain point, yeah. Everyone has that pain point. Everyone wants to do that. But how do you guys attack that issue?
Everyone's got some kind of dysfunction. There's always something.
You're always hearing about the office drama
always,
or this or that.
Always. And it varies by industries, but everybody's got something. And so sometimes that can boil down to a person. So sometimes the person is the issue. And so we'll go in. We've got executive coaching services. We go in. We help leaders get better,
yeah.
Whether they've got maybe a blind spot or a rough edge they need to round out. At other times, it's a bigger, broader system problem. So maybe, you know, we got problems with too many meetings around here. We got problems with
just logistical stuff.
The logistical stuff. It could be anything that is standing in the way of people really being engaged in the workplace, which then allows them to really engage their customers.
Well, I can see that's a huge value proposition. I'm sure you guys have analytics and numbers being like, hey, we come in and now you're 30% more efficient and you're making this much more money and people are happier.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing that most people overlook when we talk about culture is they spend all their time on employee engagement and employee satisfaction. That's really important stuff. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, you want that to translate to customer relationships. You want your customers to feel a connection because we know how competitive the world is today. So if our customers feel like, yeah, you know, I love going there, then that's great for us as business owners because,
definitely.
Wow, you know, we've got this ongoing relationship and ongoing streams of revenue are good. We like that. That's good.
I'm sure you guys also talk to companies about ways to get their employees involved and making them feel sort of like they're part of the company and that's their family there, because if they do that, that always translates to the customer because they're going to want to do what's best for the company.
Absolutely. So when I go in there, so regardless of the organization, I'm really looking for three quick things, my checklist. Are there clear roles? Does everyone know what they're supposed to be doing around here? If we've got that, that's always a good thing. And this would even be true in personal relationships. It's not rocket science, but it's important stuff. So clear roles, clear expectations. Do we know what success looks like? You know, as my boss said, you know, this is what our metrics are, right? We think that sounds easy. Most people don't do that.
Yeah.
And the third one is balanced feedback. And all research points to a ratio of 5 positive for every 1 negative.
Really?
So are you getting positive appreciation, kudos, recognition? Doesn't have to be monetary. Just simply saying, hey, Kevin, great job, man. That was awesome. And then the one redirecting. You know, hey, but you know, you could do this one thing over here better. We need to see that positive to negative feedback ratio at 5-1.
Well, I can see that huge, especially if I'm feeling valued at my company, even though they might have not been able to give me that raise because they don't have the money there. It's still, I can go home and be like, you know what? My company values me. They appreciate me. They know that I did this or I did that. And that adds more value, I think, than money, really.
Absolutely. It's huge. And in the last 5 years, the biggest drop-off I've seen in company culture is appreciation.
That's strange.
Everyone's so stressed out with worrying about their own stuff. They're not spending any time looking at what other people are doing and then saying, hey, you know, great job.
So how do you attack this problem? A company brings you in and how does that look?
So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to sit down and assess, all right, so what's talent look like here? Are people staying? Are they happy here? What's your customer relationships look like? Are your customers happy? Are they staying? And are you hitting your goals that you want? And then I'll start to dig in with a process of interviews. It's pretty simple stuff. You just interview all the key players, interview employees, interview customers, figure out what's going on that's working. So as an executive coach, we often will create action plans that follow a simple process. Stop, start, continue. What do you need to stop doing? What do you need to start doing? Or what do you need to continue doing? So you look for those same kinds of things as it relates to the culture. And then once we've gotten that, then we can say to a business owner, hey, look, here's what you need to do to really take the culture to the next level. And often what you'll see once you start to implement this stuff, this is what surprises people. They need to expect a 10% voluntary turnover immediately after you start turning the volume up on culture.
Really? Okay.
People will leave. And that's okay. It typically means that the right people are staying, and the people who aren't a good fit, they're saying, yeah, this is not for me.
Well, I can imagine you guys being the sounding board for the CEO or owner is huge, because normally I see it all the time with companies that come in here. The owner has his board, or he has his trusted people to feed the information up the pipeline, but for some reason, every time it gets up to him, it's all good, and it's rainbows and butterflies, and everything's going great with the company, and he has no idea that, well, the accounting department's really unhappy or this or that, so you guys really help with that.
Yeah, so even both when I'm doing coaching and consulting, my job is to, hit them with exactly the truth, be very transparent, very honest, and provide inspiration and a clear action plan. Because the last thing I want to do is leave people, you know, feeling demoralized or beaten up, but they need to know what's really facing them and then what they need to do with that.
So what do you do when they bring you in and they just want you to fix maybe one or two people? They come in and they're like, Kevin, you need to fix him. Yeah. He's not working out at all.
Absolutely. So that happens. So sometimes we'll be asked to come in and work with a senior leader who is really, really technically smart, very, very competent, but doesn't necessarily play well with others as well as they probably could. And so they'll say, can you fix this person? And usually it's because of one of two things. Either the person is capped off. They can't promote them higher until they can build better people skills. We talked about the importance of people and interpersonal skills. We got either they're limited, or it's now becoming an HR issue. You know, the potential liability. So
definitely.
So they need to change this. Sit down with the client, help them understand what the situation is, but most importantly, do a series of interviews. I interview in a 360 kind of way, people they work with, their boss, their customers, direct reports, and then come to them with that interview, that report. And it's usually a 15-page report. It's a fairly beefy thing. And it's about a two-hour conversation where we go through the entire stages of grief as we go through that conversation. But my goal is to get them to really see, hey, this is reality, and I'm here to support you. And then out of that, we create an action plan, and we work with them. And what I'm our success rate with turnaround clients, I'm particularly proud of this, is about 65 to 70%.
That's huge.
And when we get into the people change business, that's pretty good.
Well, it's
changing,
really good.
Getting someone to change is
it's really
no
good
easy
too.
Task.
Definitely, especially when you think about how much it costs to bring in. I was talking to a CEO yesterday, telling me how much it costs just to bring in a new employee and how much that costs the company. Well, if you can turn around an employee you already have, you just saved money right there, a lot of money.
Yeah, because if you leave them, you're going to lose them, you're going to lose that productivity time. Then you got to go out and hire an executive search firm, which can cost you $25,000 to $50,000.
Yep.
And then you got to bring them in and cross your fingers and go, I hope this works.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's that 3-month period that you have to find out if it works, and that's 3 months of wasted time. And if it doesn't, then hey, guess what? You're doing it all over again.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you have some great stories. Do you have any stories you can tell on the air to any of our listeners about company? You don't have to say the company's names, but just how you came in and so you changed everything and sort of saved the company.
So one of my favorite stories was this was actually an aerospace engineering firm based in Huntsville, Alabama. So I would normally say that my work isn't rocket science.
but it wasn't.
In this case, it was rocket science. And really, really strong culture, and they were looking to turn up the volume on their culture because that was really how they won contracts. Their clients and customers are all government entities, Department of Defense, NASA. And so their ability to really build good relationships with the employees that they get in those contracts and take care of them is important to them. So their culture matters. So he went in and did exactly everything I described, went through, did all these interviews, interviewed all these folks in the government that said, I can't tell you anything, and then they would tell us everything. and so we did that, and we came back with our report, and the client executed on everything, put it all in place. And about a couple months later, he called me up, and he said, we're having some voluntary turnover, like I told you about. And I said, don't worry. His name was Ernie. I said, Ernie, don't worry. No big deal. Call me back in a couple more months. So he calls him back a couple more months and gives this great example. He said, we were having voluntary turnover, But it turns out it was all the right people. These were all people that either weren't the right fit, or what we needed now was not what they could bring us, and they needed to go find another home. He said it was like we were all fish in a fish tank, and the water was kind of foggy. He said this process helped kind of clear up the water, and we could see what fish were swimming in the pools, in the schools together, and which ones weren't. And those fish in the bottom that were hanging out by the bottom, they could see that we could see them, and they either need to get in the school or find another tank.
I love that analogy.
And they found another tank. So a great, great example, and I really, really love what I get a chance to do. It's exciting.
Definitely, and I love the fact, too, you guys seem to be so transparent about it, so this makes it easy for companies to trust you. You're like, hey, this is what's going to happen.
Yep.
You don't sell them any bags.
So dysfunction, whether we're talking about in personal relationships or professional workplaces, it's mold. It lives in dark places. So if you want to fix dysfunction, 50% of dysfunction can be cured simply by shining a light on it. Transparency and clarity. Be clear on what you expect. Be clear on what's going on. And that eliminates half the problems. I mean, think about it at home with our relationships. It's always miscommunication. Somebody didn't tell somebody else what they expected, and then bad things happen.
Definitely.
Same thing in the workplace.
So how are you guys going to market? How are you getting in front of these companies so you can help them and help fix the companies?
Yeah, because what we do is so intimate, it's very much a referral business.
Okay.
I mean, people refer us to their friends, and they learn more. Other CEOs and other business leaders say, you know, I've got this problem, and refer us in. And so we love that, and we love to build those kinds of relationships. So we're very active on social media. We're very active in pushing out, providing extra content. I've got two different websites, one the Worksmiths, which talks about our services, but then the Workplace Therapist, which is all just free content. It's blogs, it's radio content, all designed to help leaders get better at what they do.
Well, that's huge, too, and that's a form of giving back. You guys are saying, whether you use me or not, I want to give you this information, and I'm trying to change the world one workplace at a time.
Absolutely. My first boss out of college was the world's worst boss, and it was that
that led you
that
on your path?
Experience changed my direction in life, and so my goal in life is to create healthy, high-performing workplaces, dysfunction-free.
Did you ever go back to him? You're like, hey, I'm going to help you, or was he already out of business? But
They've moved on. Okay. They have moved on, yeah.
So what's next for you guys? What does the landscape for 2014 look like?
So really, really excited. We're not only working on a book and working on more radio and TV kind of stuff to try and get the message out, that the message is what's so important. We've been growing our client base incredibly, primarily with a lot of coaching work. That seems to be a huge need right now in this market. But we're starting to see more and more of a demand for culture work. Because people are realizing, you know, when the economy really starts to turn and people have options around jobs, if we don't have a strong culture, we're going to be playing catch up fast.
Okay, definitely.
And so we're hearing more and more companies saying we don't want to be in that position.
I love that. Well, can you give our listeners the contact information if they want to reach out?
Absolutely. So to learn more about our services, The Worksmiths, you can Google The Worksmiths or just go to www.theworksmiths.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on and sharing this with us. That was great.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Ronald A. Wolf, the president of That Pie Place. And that's a local place right here in Sandy Springs.
It is, just 5 minutes away.
That's perfect. So you didn't have that big of a commute.
I didn't. I thought it was a great opportunity to get in my car and spend 5 minutes and not 50.
Well, you have a great background. You've done a lot of different stuff. Tell our listeners about that, and then tell them how you formed the idea for That Pie Place.
Well, if you go back, I'm probably a little over 4 decades in the hospitality industry.
Only 4 decades.
4 decades. Right out of the Army, came out, had to find something to do, liked eating, liked drinking. So I figured I need to work in this business.
Let me work in that culture. It's a lot cheaper.
That's actually how I got involved. And over time, I've a lot of different major companies, hotel companies, had my restaurants, fine dining, other things. And most recently, before I opened up That Pie Place, I was one of the co-founders of the Georgia Restaurant Association, which is the trade association that represents all the restaurants in Georgia. Did that for 7 years, realized that 7 years as a lobbyist essentially was enough, and I retired. And I went home and I said, I'm too young to retire, so what do I do next? And I started working on an idea for a new concept. I had to promise my wife that it wouldn't be a single restaurant, that I would build something that had potential for growth. And I realized that what we didn't need was more of the same thing. We didn't need more burgers, more chicken, more pizza, more burritos, not to denigrate any of those fine establishments, but I didn't want to do another one. And when I did my research, I started to find, and I had spent a lot of time in Europe, and I started to find that pie as a primary meat source was globally popular. In fact, maybe even the global comfort food. So I traced it back as far as ancient Egypt, 2,000 years ago. You know, and the Greeks came in and stole.
They did your customer discovery real far back.
They did. Well, in reality, the Greeks stole the idea from the Egyptians. The Romans beat up on the Greeks and stole it from them. And the Britons took it away from the Romans. And before you knew it, pie was global. So that was really the idea. And then we had to figure out, was there a way to take that product that is so big, so cumbersome, and difficult to really market and make it portable and convenient? And that's what we did. And I have a great chef. I have a wonderful chef.
Definitely. Well, I know that. I've had meat pies before, and there's so many different kind of pies you can have. They're really great. Half my family is French, so I've spent a lot of time over there, and I completely get it. But how are you educating the American culture? When they think of pie, they think apple. That's the first thing you think of. You think, oh, pie place, all right, I'm going to go get an apple pie.
Absolutely. In fact, we have two distinct audiences. We have the traditional audience that walks in and expects a big round pie. But we also have a lot of folks that when they see the word pie, if they're from the Northeast, they think we mean pizza.
Yeah. You know?
So it has been a challenge. And the best way we find is to get one of our pies in your mouth. If we can do that, we'll convert you. You'll be a believer in the meat pies and the great dessert pies that we do.
Is that what you do? They come in there like, I want an apple pie or I want a pizza. And you're like, well, how about you just try this first? And
to a great extent, it is. We have a show and tell that we do. People come in, they look like deer in the headlights half the time. They see our menu, they don't really know what that means. And so we take them on a 60-second tour. We show them where we build the pies, what they look like before they go in the oven, that they bake in 3 minutes or less, which is something that appeals to them. And that every pie we serve is baked when you order it, not in advance.
So how did you get it to bake a pie in 3 minutes or less? Because I would think people want that in their house.
Well, they need to spend a lot of money. We use very expensive ovens. That enable us to do it. I can bake 6 pies in one oven in 3.5 minutes.
So walk me through the different pies you have. Sure. Is it something where I can walk in and I look at it, I'm like, I want to throw that my pie, and you bake it for me?
Yes, or? Yes and no. In fact, what we've been blown away with is that over the 14 months we've been open, our best-selling meat pie is buffalo chicken. Now, I can actually say who knew. Chicken pot pie makes sense. That's number two. But when you come into that pie place, you have basically two ways to do it. You can go to our menu and pick one of our 20-plus selections, and we'll make that pie for you. Or you can walk over and literally build your own pie. Pick a meat group and a veggie. And people love to do that. They love to say, this is my pie. And they create their own. And the good news is, whether they like it or not, it's theirs. They built it.
They're
not going to come back and say, this is awful.
Well, I told you shouldn't put bok choy in your pie.
There you go. And all our ingredients are fresh. We don't fry anything. Everything is baked. So it's healthy in the sense that you know what's going into the pie.
Well, and I mean, that's half the battle right there, just knowing that you have healthy ingredients there. Yes, if you're going to eat pies every day, you might not be losing that 15 pounds you want to. But just eating very healthy foods, just things that are naturally grown and everything, that's a huge step in the right direction.
It is. It's a great comfort food. And then again, our desserts, it's literally 25% of our total mix is dessert pies.
Okay. Well, and I'm back on the health thing too. Like, McDonald's is really quick and you go to McDonald's, but if you eat McDonald's all the time, it's really terrible for you. Processed food, all this. Well, you've already solved that problem. 3 minutes. You can make a pie in 3 minutes, and that's actually faster than I can get a Big Mac, really.
And they travel well. Our pies, because they're fully encased, our pies hold their heat very, very well. Better than anything you can imagine that you would buy and grab in a bag and go and then eat in 20 or 30 minutes.
So how many people are like buying your pies and then passing them off as their own during Thanksgiving or for family dinners? And like, oh, honey, yeah, I slaved over the stove all day for this.
We may need to survey that. I don't know. But I do know this, that one of the things that makes the product attractive, and it's something that you just said about Thanksgiving, you know, we make the point during the holidays that if you buy a pie, everybody better like that pie.
Yeah.
But if you come into my place and with 7-8 different dessert selections, you can buy something for everybody. Everybody gets their own individual pie and nobody has to compromise. And I think that's a selling point. The same thing, we do a lot of delivery business in the evenings because when the families come home and they look at it, it's not like let's order one pizza and fight over what we put on it. Let's order our own pies and you get the buffalo and you get the Philly cheesesteak pie and you get the chicken cordon bleu pie. It's a great way to individualize dinner without you slaving over a stove to bake something that's as incredible as our pie is.
Definitely. And you just said deliver. So if I'm in my house and I call you up and I'm in the area, you'll bring the pies to me.
Absolutely.
That is huge. That is great right there.
Absolutely. And it is a very different alternative. Certainly, we're not going to replace the pizza business. We're not going to replace sub sandwiches. But every now and then, you want something a little different.
Yeah, well, you found your little niche spot in there. And I mean, before that, you're being forward thinking. Before this, it was the new healthy burger place, and now there's a bunch of those. And then it was the taqueria places, and everyone built a bunch of taco places. Before you know it, I might be looking around, and everyone's copying your idea, and there's a bunch of pie places up there.
Well, hopefully we're copying our idea, exactly. Not everybody else. So let's keep that one lower.
Exactly. Well, you talked about it earlier. You, when you were selling your wife on this, she wanted you to make something that you could grow. How far along in that process are you of maybe franchising out? Or
yeah, we're close. The first thing we had to do is, in our business, one of the biggest mistakes people make, I think, is they start a business, they get excited, and they grow too quickly. Yeah. And we have a term called proof of concept. And we not only had a new business, but we had a new concept. Nobody was doing what we were doing. I went all over the country. And so we said, let's take a year. Let's make sure we can actually do this and do it well. And so we're at that point now. We're 14 months into it. We're now looking at growth. I have a list of people who love the pies and want one in their neighborhood. I told them, I won't build it, but you can. And so I think franchising is on the horizon for us. And then we're looking to build a second and possibly a third store of our own somewhere in the metro area.
Well, you've been in the industry long enough where you know this, and you from the ground up were building this to be a franchise. So you had your systems in place and everything, and it's not like you're looking back on it right. saying, oh my God, now I have to capture all the magic here and try to put it into forms and documents. You guys already have all that. So,
yes. Yeah, and the key really is when you're starting something like we're doing, maybe even any business, is to make sure you have the right people on the bus, the right players on the team. And one of my partners was one of the original founders of Moe's. I've got a great executive chef. I have another partner who's built over 3,000 restaurants across the country. So you look at that team and you say, okay, I know what I know, but I also know what I don't know. And so build a team around your concept that brings those extra skills to the table that you don't have.
Surround people that are smarter than you, and then they can go off and do it, and you can take the credit.
And almost everyone is smarter than me. So I just – the only thing I did well is I know how to pick good people to help build the concept.
Well, any successful owner can tell you that's exactly what the skill set they had also. So where are you guys located, and how can people reach out and call you, and what's the area you deliver to? Because I think that's a huge selling point.
I often liken us to Where's Waldo. We're probably one of the best-kept secrets in Sandy Springs. We are in a very obscure location.
We are, too. So
I know. I had to be guided here. We are across the street from the Costco and the Home Depot on Peachtree Dunwoody Road. If you were getting gas at Costco and you look straight ahead, you'd see my building. But you might miss us if you didn't. So 6355 Peachtree Dunwoody Road. It's the bottom of a 7-story apartment building. You'll see our little patio with the umbrellas. Delivery area is pretty much Sandy Springs and parts of Dunwoody. We like to keep it fairly tight so we don't take too long to get my pies to you.
Definitely. So they're still hot and ready to go. I'm gonna try this. Now that it's right down the street and I know about it, now I'm going to have to drive straight down for lunch and get a pie.
Or you call ahead and we'll deliver to the studio.
Oh, that's even bigger selling. But I'll call on the air. So
oh, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
All right. And do you give the number again?
Let me give you the website is www.thatpieplaceusa.com and 770-394-4743. Give us a call. Check us out on the web or come by and visit us.
Definitely. And if you want to open your own pie place, that's
give
coming
me
right
a call.
Corner.
Give me a call. We see pie in your future.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Well, last but definitely not least, he's been sitting there patiently. We have Joe Ragone, the co-founder of Locals Networking. I didn't butcher your last name, did I?
No, that was perfect.
That's a first, I think.
You did great.
So tell me a little about yourself, why you decided to be an entrepreneur, go out there, but be a co-founder of a company, and just give me a little backstory.
Sure. I was a physician in private practice for about 8 years, and during that time, I did a lot of referral networking, got out in the community, you know, shaking hands, kissing babies, that kind of thing, just getting the word out about our business. And then I had a bike accident in 2010, so I couldn't practice anymore, so I took a different line of work, but it kind of brought me back to referral marketing again. And you know, with the proliferation of social networking sites and so many different sites directed to so many different types of businesses and people, me and a friend of mine were sitting around one day and just decided that, God, you know, you spend so much time referral networking, you know, early morning meetings, after hours, you're running across town, you know, you got to find substitutes and all this stuff. Like, we just thought, wow, you know, there should be an easier way to do this and we should be able to do this online. So we got together and we put a plan in action.
Well, tell me a little bit how it works, because that sounds good to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So how it works is, I don't know, let's say you're a business coach or possibly a new restaurant owner or maybe even a carpet cleaning company. You could go on our website and create a profile. I've kind of described it as a kind of online dating for your business. You like you go on, you create a profile, you talk about what you're looking for, you talk about yourself, and you create a little profile, and then you put it on our website. And the nice thing about our site is, again, let's say you're a realtor, for example, and you're new to the area and you want to network with a photographer, a stager, a handyman, maybe an electrician. You can actually choose those on the website. And then let's say one of those professions comes after you, it'll guide you to that group or to that profession, and then to help kickstart your networking with them.
Okay. How's the response been to this? Because I know some people push back against new kind of technologies, but this sounds pretty cool to me.
Oh, yeah. We've been doing pretty good. The site's been up and running for about 3 months now. So far, we're in 8 states. We have about 300 members so far.
Is there any kind of rating system or anything? Like Twitter has its followers and this or that are saying, man, this guy's referred 10 people to me. I want to give him a review and say he's been so helpful in my business.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. This is kind of like our, like he mentioned earlier, proof of product. This is kind of our first version 1.0.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to really make it member driven. You know, you kind of sit in your little office and you think, well, this is what I think people want. So we kind of have plans for things exactly what you're talking about,
yeah.
Testimonials, ratings, those types of things. But right now we're really just focusing on getting people to the website, getting people to join, and getting people to interact, because a business relationship is like any other relationship, even a dating website. If you just went on there and didn't reach out to anybody else, your profile is just going to sit there. So we're just trying to get people to understand how to use the website right now.
Well, I think that's a good point, too. And I love the fact that you're putting personal responsibility, but something like this doesn't work. And it's not a fix for people that are lazy and don't like to network. It's for people
Absolutely.
That want to network more efficiently mm-hmm. and maximize their time. So that seems like you're really solving that pain point right there. And I think the people that are hard workers and all they do is network anyways will really gravitate to that. And I think it's something they're going to do along with their normal networking as well, just sort of
Absolutely, yeah. And we are by no means, I mean, there's a lot of great processes in place between networking events, Chamber of Commerce, Rotary Club, and the like, and those things work well, and those things are great. But, you know, honestly, it's sometimes intimidating to walk into a room of 100 people when you're in the new business and you don't know anybody. That's a little bit of stage fright, and some people don't like that and they shy away for it, or some people are so busy starting their new business that they don't have time for that 7 o'clock or that 4 o'clock meeting.
Yeah.
So if you have a system in place, this can only add to that. And for those people that aren't comfortable in the traditional forum, this is another option for them.
Definitely. So how long have you guys been around now? How long have you been testing it?
We're babies. We're 3 months old.
3 months old. So just starting your own business, talk to a little bit about the advice you'd have for anyone that's going through this process and deciding to start something up.
Yeah,
like this.
Absolutely. Start marketing before day one. Yeah, I mean, that's really the best thing. And you know, there's really not too much research you can do. I think my wife was getting aggravated because I was looking on the internet all the time, 24/7. You're looking to see if anybody else is doing what you're doing. You're looking to see if you're missing anything. And you're looking to see if there's any other marketing opportunities that you can take advantage of.
Definitely. So what's the future look like for this? How does the revenue model work? Walk me through it.
Revenue model? What
revenue,
are you talking about?
No,
right?
We're just an aggregator of data.
Yeah, we're just a friendly free site right now. Yeah, so we're completely free right now. And when I say free, I mean absolutely free. It's not put your credit card in and it's free. Like free is free is free.
Okay, perfect.
Yep, you just go on, you create a profile. And like I said, right now, we're just trying to drive people to the site. And we do have plans in the future once we get to a certain number of members, we might institute different pay models just to offer more functionality and more options to people. But right now, we're just trying to get as many people to the site, because the more people we get to the site, the more opportunities people have for networking.
How long does it take to sign up? What kind of information do people need to put in?
Yep. It's real simple. It's, you know, your business, your location, just, you know, simple information. You can put your web presence on there, whether it be Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, obviously your website. We have spots where you can talk about your business, what makes you special, what makes you different, what you're looking for, what type of customers you're looking for. So, I mean, the whole sign-up process takes under probably about 2.5 minutes.
Wow, that's huge. I just had an idea. I don't know. You guys have probably already thought about it, but I don't know if LinkedIn has an open API, but it'd be really easy if you sent me a request saying, hey, you want to mm-hmm. be on here? Click this, and you know how they have to sign in with Facebook. If you had signed with LinkedIn and it just aggregated all my data and put it in for me and made my profile – I mean, I don't think anyone would say, no, I don't want to do that and increase my networking.
Yep, you're hired. Yeah. We need new ideas. So, yeah, you know, we've looked into that, and we have looked into LinkedIn extensively, but, you know, the more we spend into it, you know, LinkedIn is just so what we've found is just so modeled after kind of the corporate model and the corporate environment,
yeah,
where we're really going after that community-based, small business.
Hyper-local.
Yeah, exactly. Just super local. And even on the website, you can determine, you know, if you want businesses, you want to network with businesses within 5 miles, 10 miles, 25 miles, how small you want your radius to be. Because maybe like a carpet cleaning, maybe you guys are looking for businesses 50 miles, but maybe a restaurant, you're only looking for people 5 miles. So you can make it as local as you want. But yeah, we have absolutely explored that avenue to try to make it as simple as possible.
That's huge. I absolutely love this idea. And I think it'd be huge for when you guys get maybe a year down the road or something, we have you back on and just see what you guys have been through, how you guys have grown, and where you guys are at, definitely.
Yeah, Atlanta's been surprisingly just, you know, the more we get into it, we realize what a startup tech hub Atlanta is, and there are so many opportunities for people in tech or with a startup idea to reach out to mentors or people that have done it before. There really are a ton of opportunities in the Atlanta area, so Atlanta's been a great place to start.
It's definitely. Have you guys talked to anyone over at Atlanta Tech Village or anything? I know that's the new incubator.
Yep. We've talked to them. We've talked to a couple other people and just try to, you know, Facebook and
definitely
Twitter, just kind of keep in touch with everybody.
All right. Very cool. So if you could have the perfect world, what's the overall goal of this? To be in every state, every country, or
total world domination?
Total world domination,
yep.
And helping one company at a time. That'd be a huge little...
Yeah, that's exactly it.
It's like a little tool to help the smaller companies compete against these big marketing powerhouses.
Yeah, and you know, the small business owner's busy. You know, they're trying to run their business, and this is just another way just to get out and...
Just another tool.
Yep, exactly.
All right, very cool. Well, can you give our listeners the website and your credentials if they want to reach out and work for you?
Sure. We're not hiring quite yet.
Yes.
Pro bono work is well accepted. We are localsnetworking.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, but localsnetworking.com will get you right to us.
All right. And so you guys have a YouTube, so it sort of just walks them through the process.
Yep. Yeah, just you know, to help people understand what we do. And we have actually these little cartoons that kind of take you through the website and explain how to
very
use it.
Very cool. You should put that on a Kickstarter and just make a Kickstarter video with it.
Did it.
All right. Yep. Very cool. I love it. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on today and educating our listeners and educating me most of all. So, and we'd love to have you guys back in the future if you guys are doing anything exciting or you know any other guests. So, all right. Well, this is Kevin Finn for all our guests today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Atlanta Business Radio.